Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Michelle Leslie.
And I'm Amy Spreeman. Thanks for joining us. You know, in this amazing time in our history when the world is sort of careening off the walls of sanity into total depravity, keep in mind that none of this catches God by surprise at all. And He's still our sovereign King, right? And Michelle, this is a really good time for Christians to catch our breath and not let our hearts be troubled by the world. And of course, not get caught up in some of this intense dialogue. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the world is just so on edge right now, and Christians are too in a lot of cases. And, you know, I think it would do us all good to just step back and calm down and focus on Christ and remember what we're actually here on this planet for.
Yes, absolutely. And that's, we're going to be talking about that a lot tonight. You know, one of the questions, do we think we deserve the so-called normal that we used to have before 2020? I know I long for those days again. This is crazy. But do we expect that things really will settle down anytime soon? I mean, you know, we have to hold on to those expectations very loosely, because today we're going to be talking about something we see that has sadly become a new normal, as much as I hate that word, a new normal in our culture, and it's creeping into Christian mentality straight from the world, and that is entitlement.
Yeah, it's a really good thing to talk about. And this whole pandemic situation really seems to be making this entitlement culture even worse. Well, what do we mean by entitlement? Well, it's when we think we're deserving of something because it seems good or right to us. Entitlement is the belief that we are deserving of privileges or special treatment, either from God or from the world around us. It kind of says, you owe me. And a growing number of people are having tantrums when they perceive that other people are standing in the way or blocking whatever they think is rightfully theirs.
You're so right, Michelle. And for those, in case you don't know or you don't spend a lot of time on social media, God bless you for that, about a decade ago, and I didn't realize it was that long ago, it started to be really popular to sum up that behavior by calling it a woman's first name, Karen, as a pejorative or insult. Now, our apologies to any listeners named Karen out there, and our sympathies that your beautiful name has been turned into a meme on the internet. I've always loved that name, Karen. Well, what does it mean when someone says this or that person is a Karen? Well, before 2020, it was used to describe a suburban woman who insulted others or demanded to see a retail manager when she didn't get her way. Maybe her coffee wasn't hot enough or something like that. Well, this year, it's been twisted even more to be used as a racial slur against all white women. But we're going to ignore that, this year's twist on it, because we're talking about entitlement for this episode. And this type of behavior extends way beyond a stereotype that you can put into a category or a meme on the internet. Entitlement is part of humanity's dark sin nature. It always has been, so it's really no wonder we're seeing it among professing Christians, just like other sins and unrighteous mindsets. So as always, we want to spend some time in Scripture to see if the Bible even mentions entitlement or how we should be thinking about it.
That's right. In fact, the Bible does indeed talk about this behavior, and as you can imagine, not in a very favorable light. Jesus talked about selflessness and serving others, but entitlement is just the opposite. To set the stage, let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:23 to 24. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is edifying. No one should seek his own good, but the good of others. And as Romans 14:19 says, so then let us pursue what leads to peace and to mutual edification. The Bible says we have certain freedoms, but it becomes sin when those pursuits are self-centered and degrading to others. Entitlement as part of our sin nature tells us that we have the right to pursue something or to have something, even at the cost of others. The Pharisees are a great example of how entitlement permeated religious life that affected everyone. They believed they deserved, and in fact demanded, recognition and honor everywhere they went. In Matthew 23, Jesus compared their attitudes with the ultimate hypocrisy. So we're going to read a little bit of that. Matthew 23, starting at verse 1. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted."
Yeah, Michelle, that scripture you just read sounds a lot like, you know, the description of modern day selfishness that we often see among Christians, even in leadership, unfortunately. And so we want to kind of do a gut check here. We want to ask ourselves, do you crave attention for your righteous deeds or to make sure that everyone knows every time you pray or help others in need? Do you mention it in conversation or post your deeds on social media for all to admire? Now, the key here, I mean, there's nothing wrong with posting when somebody is in need, but the key is for all to admire. So it's in your motive which really reveals your heart. And, you know, we've all been there. So here's a check that you can use to be sure about this. You can ask yourself, do you like to be praised for those things? Or does that praise make you sick to your stomach because people are focused on you rather than on Christ? You know, it's just something to think about, and I think we can all fall into that mindset from time to time. And as Michelle read for us, the Pharisees had that mindset all or most of the time, as they believed they were entitled to that praise from men. Now, even when they fasted, it says they made sure others knew so that they could be praised for their act of reverence. And we see that today, of course. Entitlement culture is nothing new. But what did Jesus say about what our attitudes should be? Well, there's, you know, clues all over the Bible about that. But Luke chapter 7 talks about a Roman centurion whose beloved servant was dying. And he sent word to Jesus through the Jewish leaders to ask Jesus for help and healing. I'm going to pick this up and read from verse 4. It says, "When they," or he's talking about the Jewish elders, "came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, 'This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue.' So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, 'Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it.' Well, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, 'I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel.' Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well." All right, now this kind of faith is not the fruit of entitlement, obviously, but the evidence of a grateful, humble, and undeserving attitude. I remember the first time, Michelle, years ago, after we came out of one of those feel-good seeker churches, we'd come out and gotten into a new church, and our new pastor talked about entitlement, and he told us, "What do we deserve? We deserve death." And I still remember how shocking that truth sounded to my ears that hadn't been trained to hear that. That was really kind of my introduction to the reality of the depravity and God's mercy and grace. And, you know, the more I dug into the Bible, the more I could hear it and see it for myself.
Yeah, that's so true. And, you know, as you were reading that passage, you know what I noticed about that? How you were, we were talking about the Pharisees earlier, and, mm-hmm. and so it's talking about them in verse 4. It says the Jewish elders or the Pharisees, they came to Jesus and they pleaded with him, "This man deserves to have you do this." And then when he comes out, he says, where does he, in verse 6, he says, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof." And so that it's the whole mentality that these, the Pharisees were in, you know, of weighing people's deeds and counting people righteous by their outward appearance instead of their heart. And this is just a great example, this passage that you just read, of what it says in, I think it's 1 Samuel, where it says that man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so we really want to have our hearts right, and to realize what you just said, we are only deserving of death and an eternity in hell instead of measuring our self-worth by our outward behavior and measuring other people that way too. You know, we are born self-centered, and naturally we want to protect our egos and our rights. So we tend to think in those terms of deserving and not deserving. When we decide that life has not treated us as we have the right to be treated, you know what often happens is self-pity. That's the result a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
Self-pity is another clue, by the way, ladies, that we have that entitlement mentality. And something else I think we also need to consider is that there's another sin at the root of entitlement. And I had just said not too long ago that entitlement is the feeling that life has not treated us as we have the right. We feel that life has not treated us as we have the right to be treated. So what does that imply? It implies that there's something we don't have that somebody else does have, that we just have this insatiable craving for. Does that definition sound familiar? Yeah, well, it should. It's the basic definition of coveting. Commandment number 10, Exodus 20:17 says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's." Now, just because your neighbor doesn't have an ox or a donkey for you to covet does not mean you're off the hook, and neither am I. Coveting at its very foundation is being dissatisfied with what God has given you and wanting something else. When you covet anything, an ox, a donkey, a different lifestyle than you have, you know, a different level of income, advantages, privileges that you don't have, material things, whatever you're coveting, you're basically telling God that he got it wrong when he didn't give you those things. It's wanting your way over God's way. And that is what is at the very root of entitlement. As Christians, we don't deserve anything, just like we're talking about before, about being deserving. We don't deserve anything. And we're expected to check ourselves for any selfishness and coveting that may creep in, and we're to repent of those things. So being in the Word continuously will help tremendously with this. Trust me, I know from experience. The Bible teaches the value of hard work and the principle of reaping and sowing, and it teaches a sacrificial lifestyle of following Christ. It also teaches us to be content with what we have. Jesus reminded his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Instead of self-centeredness and privilege, the Bible teaches the love of God with all your heart and soul and mind, and to love others. Christians are not entitled to much in this world. Galatians 2:20 talks about what it means to die to self. It says this, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." This means that if we're truly crucified with Christ, we no longer live for ourselves.
Oh, that's so true. And if we don't abide in Christ and we start allowing this sense of deservedness or entitlement to rule our lives, as it can easily do if you're not paying attention, it's really going to keep us from knowing Christ and honoring Him. In Philippians chapter 2, we see that He is our model in not giving in to a sense of entitlement. Though He was God, it says, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself in obedience to God, and He died a criminal's death on a cross. So that's really a stark contrast to today's entitlement culture, right? And we see that Jesus gave up His divine rights and privileges and His own life so that we could have eternal life.
Yeah, we have been redeemed, like it says in Scripture, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. We've been given an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade, not because we're entitled to it, but because God is merciful and gracious. Being grateful and content in Him allows us to be humbled daily by God's undeserved favor and our deserved judgment forgiven at the cross by the amazing love of God in Christ.
Amen. How encouraging is that? Well, as we wrap up, we hope that you were encouraged by these scriptures and by the truth about what we really cling to from this world, which, by the way, isn't even our home. So it's nothing. We don't cling to anything here. If you'd like to catch up on our other podcasts, be sure to stop by our website at awordfitlyspoken.life. And it's there you can connect with us, you can watch for any announcements, and if you are so inclined, you can help support and offset the costs of this podcast and website with your gifts through Patreon or PayPal.
That's right. And thank you to all of our everyone who has donated so far. And thank you also everyone who listens to us so faithfully every week. When you share us on social media and things like that, we really appreciate that. We don't often take the time to tell you that, but we really do appreciate everything you do to help us get the word out about A Word Fitly Spoken. So until next time, rejoice in Christ, live to serve, and in Him alone, walk worthy.